Okay, today we're continuing in the second parak of Maseches Maestros, and we are learning Mishnayos Gimel and Dalid. So again, we're continuing in the discussion of the different activities that are koveya for Meiser. Remember, we said you're allowed to snack from Maestros, from produce rather, before Chumash Maestros have been taken from it, so long as you haven't done one of the six things that are koveya for Meiser. So we mentioned bringing it into a bias is koveya for Meiser, and the Mishnah is going to expound on what's called a bias for that halacha. Hamala perus min haGalil liYehuda. If someone takes produce from his field in the Galil up to Yehuda in order to sell it in Yehuda, assuming that he can get a better price for it in Yehuda, he's going to get more money for it in Yehuda, so he could keep snacking from it when he starts out. So even though when a person plans to sell something in the market, that is also something that's normally koveya as soon as it's fully processed. Because that's only true if he plans to sell it in a local market, but when he plans to bring it to a different area, like from Galil to Yehuda, where the prices are higher, then he doesn't plan to sell it until he gets there. So we assume that the intention to sell it is not automatically koveya. So that's what's going on in our Mishnah. You're bringing it from Galil to Yehuda. The fact that you plan on selling it in Yehuda itself is not koveya. Olal Yerushalayim, or you bring it up to Yerushalayim to sell it in Yerushalayim. Ochal me'am atchu magil makom shu halich. You could eat it. You could snack on it until you get to the place where you're going. Even if you're staying in a house overnight when you're traveling from one place to the other, because you don't own the house that you're staying in, it's just your guest there. So bringing it into that house is not going to be mechayiv, like we learned in the last Mishnah, that the only time bringing it into a bias is mechayiv, is koveya, is when it's your bias that you're bringing it into. But once you get to where you're going and you're ready to sell it, so then that itself is koveya. V'chein b'chazara, and when you're coming back, if before getting back to Yehuda, you decide to bring your produce back to the Galil, meaning if you never arrived at Yehuda and you say, you know what, I'm giving up on this journey, and you turn right around and you go back to the Galil, you could keep eating it as a snack until you get all the way back home to the Galil. Obviously, once you got to Yehuda, then it's too late. Then once you arrive, then it's going to be chayv in Maestros. Rameir omar achu magil makom ha-shvisa. You could snack in it only until you get to the place where you're going to spend Shabbos, even if that's not your ultimate destination. Meaning, once you get to the place where you're going to spend Shabbos, then Shabbos is going to be koveya for Meiser, or alternatively, the place where you're going to spend Shabbos is considered enough of your home that that's koveya the Meiser. During the week, you'll stay overnight, and you're not going to feel so at home. But on Shabbos, you're going to pick a place where you could feel very comfortable. So that's going to have a halachic status of your home. Now, once Shabbos actually starts, Shabbos itself is koveya. Over here, we're talking about a case where you get to a place where you're planning on spending Shabbos, but Shabbos has not yet actually started, right? That's the case, that you get to a place where you want to spend Shabbos, but Shabbos has not yet begun. If you have peddlers who go around selling things in towns, they could keep on snacking from the produce until they get to the place where they're going to sleep that night. Even though they go into a lot of different houses, to sell things, so none of those batim are koveya because they're just going in to sell things. But once they get to the house where they're going to sleep that night, then it becomes us to snack on, because that's considered their home as far as that day is concerned, and therefore it's koveya lemaisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, habayis harishon ubeisa. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, the very first house that you go into, where you plan to spend the night, is considered to be your house, even if you end up not spending the night in that house. Meaning what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, look, if you know when you're knocking on that door that you have no plans whatsoever of spending the night there, and you would turn down the invitation if offered, then that's not koveya lemaiser. But you don't have to wait till you get to that. It doesn't have to wait till you get to the house where you're actually going to spend the night. The first house that you would entertain the possibility of spending the night would be enough to be koveya, because when you come to a town, you're eager eager to put down all your stuff, to sort of get settled. So the first person that invites you, that's going to be the person where you're going to stay. So that's enough of a bias in order to be koveya. Now this is different. This case of Rochlin, the two parts of our Mishnah are a little bit different from each other. Right? First we spoke about someone who's Malav Perus Megalil Yehuda, who's a salesman, a traveling salesman, and now we're talking about a Rochlin, who's a peddler. A peddler stays in one house for a lot of days. So he doesn't have to wait till he finds a place where he's going to spend Shabbos. He makes himself at home. Rochel makes himself at home in places where he's not going to spend Shabbos. Whereas the guy who's Malah his peros from Galil to Yerushalayim or whatever, he will wait till he gets to a place where he's able to spend Shabbos. Now, another thing that's koveya for Maestros is if you're mafresh truma from it. So Mishnah Dalet talks about that. Let's say the produce is not completely processed yet and you're mafresh truma. Is that koveya the Maestros? So perush etramanat shelo nigmar melachtan. If you have produce that you separated truma from before, you completely processed it. So it's a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Lezer osu milachal memrai. Rabbi Lezer says you're not allowed to snack from it because Rabbi Lezer holds once you're mafresh truma from it, that's koveya. It doesn't matter whether it was fully processed or not. The Chum matirim, but the Chum say that you could eat it as a snack. According to the Chum, separating truma doesn't change the status of something that is not fully processed. Chutz mikalkelas ta'enim, except if you have a basket of fresh figs, where if you're mafresh truma from the figs, if you were mafresh truma from the figs before you finished processing them, they become usher to snack on, because separating truma from figs in a basket is also considered completely processing them. That's considered the finishing of the processing of those figs. Kalkalas tainim shetrama. Now, once we're talking about figs and a basket of figs, there is a machlokas even about that. If you have a basket of figs that someone was mafresh truma from before you completely processed it, Rabbi Shimon matir v'cham moser. Rabbi Shimon says you're allowed to continue eating it as a snack, but the Chum say that it's usher to continue eating it as a snack. I mean, the Chum was the shita reflecting in the first part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon does not say that the truma is koveya from meiser, even in the case of basket of figs. So what it turns out is that whereas when it comes to other payrolls that are not fully processed, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim disagree whether you're allowed to eat from them aray. The Chachamim are matir, but even within the sheet of the Chachamim, there's a machlokas whether the same is true, whether it's also mutter by a kalkalas of te'enim, where Rabbi Shimon would say yes, just like it's that the same is true by a kalkalas of te'enim, and the Chacham would say no, that the same is not true of a kalkalas of te'enim. Kalkalas of te'enim is different than other fruits. Why would a basket of figs be different than other fruits? The logic is, it's explained by the Mefarshim over here, by the Rishonim really, is that fresh figs is not considered to be finished until you cover it with leaves. People sometimes collect figs in a basket and then change their mind and decide that they're going to put them out to dry instead. So it's only once you cover them with the leaves that it's very clear that you don't plan to put them out to dry. But separating truma from them shows that you've made up your mind not to dry them, because you would otherwise not separate truma until after they were dried. So when you're mafresh truma, that's the equivalent of a gemar melacha, because you're showing that you're not going to do a further melacha with it. Meaning normally it's not considered gemar melacha yet, because you might still dry them. But once you're mafresh truma from them, you're showing that you're not planning on still drying them. Whereas when it comes to other peiros that are not typically put out to dry anyway, so we have the right to assume that there's a gemar melacha. So let's quickly summarize what we learned today. In Mishnah Gimel, we learned about two types of travelers. We learned about people who travel to sell things from Galil to Yehuda or bring them up to Yerushalayim. They're allowed to continue to snack on these things until they get to the place where their destination is. And Rameir says, until they get to the place where they're going to spend Shabbos. And then we learned about Rochlin, a different type of traveler, a traveling salesman. So we had a machlokas tanaim. Is it where you spend the night the first time? That's koveya lemaisros. That's the bias that's koveya. Or like Rabbi Yehuda says, not the very first house that you would spend the night is koveya for meiser. And then in Mishnah Dalet, we said that just like bringing something into a bias is kaver for meiser. Being mafresh truma is kaver for meiser. So if you're mafresh truma before there's a gemar melacha on the produce, it's a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim whether it's kaver for meiser or not. And even within the sheet of the chachamim that it's not yet kaver for meiser, there's a question whether kalkalas te'enim is an exception, that maybe kalkalas te'enim will be kaver for meiser because it's not, that's not, that is now considered a gemar melacha. And that's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. That is from tomorrow. We'll pick up with Perek Beis, Mishnah Hey.